automatically think it needs to be one way, and I am going to preach about Christ's birth. But when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the first announcement of his birth came to the shepherds on a hillside outside of Bethlehem. The angels of heaven sang out to the world through the shepherds the message of the birth of Christ Jesus. Now, my wife sat there and looked at me last night. She said, "Do you understand how big this was?" Now, this is my wife looking at me, who was preparing a message to share with you. She said, "Do you realize how big this is? This event was God deciding to transform the world. And in a moment, he sent his son to do that work." I want to preach a little bit differently this morning. I want to take John 3:16-17. And we're going to look at that scripture. And the scripture says, it begins, "For God." For God. There is a God. And you know, it amazes me that some people question, "Well, I'm not sure there's a God." Wake up. There is a God. And God is merciful and beautiful. The God that I know is a personal God. The God that I know, that I personally walk with every day and speak with, and he talks with me, and we walk together. And it's not imaginary, it's real. It's power. It's almost more real than my physical relationships with my family. But as we walk and as we talk, I begin to realize this is the architect, the designer, the creator, the engineer, the sustainer of the very life that we see. Everything that we see, everything that we have was created by him. And the vastness of the universe, he created that. And yet that God would have the time to come down to me and speak to me, take care of me. Every male and female human who has ever lived, God reached out to each one. Every human being was shaped by God and given a plan by God. This is not something that might happen. This is something that did happen. It says, "For God," and as the kids sit down or get ready for their, I'm going to take a pause a second, let them get in place. "For this God, this great God, the God of the universe, the God that we cannot even imagine, the God that some people create in their minds, the God that people try to figure out, the God that people say, you can't figure out, you can't know. For God, this God, so loved the world." We know this about God. He loves the world. He loves you. He's not an angry, vengeful, wrathful God. This is a God who loves you so much that he did what? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." How did God prove his love? He proved his love this way. He sent his only Son as a price that had to be paid for our sins, that we might become one with God. You see, there is a chasm between God and us. And if people, before they come to Jesus, they feel this chasm. Where is God? I don't know where God is. Is there really a God? How far away is God? How do I get to God? They all have this. So they create religions with statues and artifacts and paintings to worship, because they know there's got to be a bridge between God and us. Some pray five times a day. Some do all kinds of worship in their household. But hear me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten, and that son was the bridge between God and man. We do not have to go out on a safari trying to figure it out. God has laid it out before us. He gave us a way, he gave us the truth, and he gave us the life in Jesus Christ, his son. You see, on that Christmas morning, God bridged the gap. God sent the bridge between man and his sin and God and his holiness. It was the fulfillment of the prophecy. You see, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says this, "Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. God with us. You see, Jesus was not just a prophet or a good man or a righteous man or a guru. He was God with us. He was God in the flesh. That's why we believe in the virgin birth, which was predicted by Isaiah and other prophets who said there would come one who would be born of a virgin. Why is this important? Who cares? Because if Jesus was born of Mary, of a woman, and he was born as a virgin, then the Holy Spirit was the one that came down upon the Virgin Mary and gave her his seed, God's seed. That's why it's the Son of God, the only Son. Because it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Only begotten Son. There is no other. Has never been another. It's not sons of God. He was one of them. Only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him would have everlasting life. And there are those that say, "All right, well, I'll believe." And they walk out the door. No, it's not like that. Listen, it's like this. The word "believe" in the Greek comes from the same derivative as braid. You know, you ladies braid your hair. You know how you do that? You take the strands and you weave them so that it becomes one. Ropes that are weaved are the tightest and strongest ropes, right? When we believe in the way that is taught in the Bible, as God taught us, it is a braiding of the truth of God with our truth so that we become one with the truth and we walk with God, one in his truth. It's not just believe. I mean, because the scripture says even the demons believe Jesus is the Son of God, but they're not going to heaven. Believing, okay, I'll believe. No, it is when I have braided God's belief of his Son with my life. And at that point, I've intertwined the belief with who I am. We call that faith. F-A-I-T-H. And in all of Hebrews, it says, how was God pleased with man? By his faith. And you see, our faith and trust in Jesus Christ gives us the opportunity of putting ourselves in the bridge that carries us to eternal life. In John chapter 3, verse 17 through 21, follows it up, 16, says this, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe, trust him, put your faith in him, is condemned already, because he has not come into the world. And people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light." They try to make up all kinds of reasons they don't come to the light. Well, it's not really truth. I'm not sure I believe. I don't know that all of this, oh, they've made it up. Book after book has been written. Scholar after scholar has tried to prove that this is not truth. But whoever does what is truth comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God through his Son, Jesus. We don't come to just celebrate a little story. We come, and our kids are getting ready right now to share with us the story of the birth of God in the flesh, his Son, Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you to listen to this true story.